You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Now here are your hosts, Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm.
Well, hello there, and welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily here on Tuesday. The Browns players are off today. They'll get back to work tomorrow to get ready for week number 3 against the Miami Dolphins. Obviously, a lot has changed yesterday since we went off the air. Now, nothing official, but of course, rumors are out there that the Browns have signed Charlie Whitehurst, the former backup quarterback, a.k.a. Clipboard Jesus, would come in and provide a veteran presence alongside Cody Kessler and Kevin Hogan. If we are able to confirm that for you while we are on the air, we will do that for you during the show today. We've got a lot of things going on the show today as well. And, you know, every Tuesday now we've got Sir Andrew Gribble with us. That'll be at 1:30. We also will have John Costco, PFF analyst. That's Pro Football Focus, Browns media correspondent. He'll be with us at 2 o'clock. We'll hear from Cody Kessler today. And I guess, you know, the big question is for the Browns and you go through week one, you lose RG3. You go through week two, you lose Josh McCown. I had an opportunity to catch up with Josh McCown in the cafe today, and I just told him that, you know, for me to be on the sideline, he's one of the guys that it's been an honor for me to get to watch play the way he plays the game, the toughness he brings, the leadership he brings. And to me, he just exemplifies everything you'd ever want out of a Cleveland Brown. And I've said it before, so it's not like I'm just saying it. I've said it before on the show. He's probably my favorite guy that I've ever gotten to meet through this job, and just have the ultimate respect for him. And it's just a shame for him that, you know, he's not going to be able to go out there and start this week against Miami. And we don't know when we'll see him back, but just a great guy. And you know, I've watched that speech now, or not speech, but his post-game press conference probably like 3 times now, just because you feel like that is raw, real emotion you feel for him. And, you know, for all the people out there, like, these guys don't care. Let me tell you something. These guys care, and they care a lot, and Josh McCown is the absolute embodiment of that.
Absolutely, and I think he definitely does care. And anytime you bring up, you know, personal situations in your life, and that opportunity for him to speak about his dad and his brother, and them going to work and not wanting to go to work every day, and then also even furthermore his 2 kids, and to talk about, you know, if I quit or if I give up, it makes it that much easier for my kids, you know, who are now starting to play football, to do the same thing. So he's got to be tough and learn about toughness and learn about going out there when you're not comfortable and grinding through something. And I think it's a great life lesson. And I think that's why, you know, sports were such a big part of my life, why sports are such a great aspect of people's lives, because of the lessons that and the disciplines that you learn, whether you become a professional athlete or not, they're applicable in life.
Yes.
And I think, you know, that's the one thing that you can take from Josh McCown is, you know, win-loss record and his, 16, 17-year career, whatever you want to call it, he's learned a lot of life lessons. And Josh McCown is not only an NFL football player and a starting quarterback and has started many places, but he's just an all-in-all great person, a great human being whose life, he's going to touch many lives beyond just something associated with football.
And you're right, and I think he's a guy that's going to stay involved with football for a long time. I would imagine he's somebody that would be considered to be a great potential coach here in this league. All right, let's talk about it. Let's get it out there. Last night, Monday Night Football, Carson Wentz looked very impressive, leading his team to victory over the Chicago Bears on the road. And I know everybody's saying it's a referendum. And you know what? Look, I like Goff better then. I like Goff better now. I know we haven't seen it, but he has looked very, very, very good, and I would say he's been incredibly impressive. And you know, I thought he was a swing at the plate, just like RG3, so I understood the logic there. But he, right now, you'd say RG3 is hurt, and that looks like a swing, and you know, at least a foul ball or a miss for now. And Carson Wentz very much looks like the real deal there, and a guy that Philadelphia. And by the way, their coaching staff's done a phenomenal job with him, Doug Peterson, John DeFilippo. But he's done a great job himself as well, and it's been very impressive to see Carson Wentz. And I might have been wrong on that evaluation. I thought he reminded me much more of Blake Bortles, but so far he's taken care of the football, and he's looked good. The one thing I would say to him, stop
get down
those hits.
Yes,
he took some shots yesterday.
Trevathan on the sideline, and then on the scramble where he kind of got flipped around and took the hit to his legs.
Yeah,
and then to his head.
And there was one play though where he stood in the pocket and delivered it. It ended up getting called back on a penalty where he took a vicious hit, but stood there like you want your quarterback and deliver the football. So very impressive.
Yeah, and you know what was even most impressive to me so far about Carson Wentz, and this is even, you know, prior to last night's football game, which he came out and as you said, protected the football and put his team in a situation to win football games, had some drops too by Jordan Matthews or would have went, you know, for more yards and I think maybe even another score. But it was John Gruden's assessment of him in the pregame and just showing, you know, some things that kind of go overlooked when, and it was against the Browns in those cut-ups when the Browns would bring a certain pressure and Wentz would go from, you know, under center to the gun. He'd move the back. He'd look out to the wide receivers and tell them like, hey, change your route, or give them the thumbs up and say, we're good, and then run the play. And it was his ability up to this point to diagnose what's coming has been second to none for a rookie. And I think even furthermore, as I dove in and really, you know, read and learned about Carson Wentz prior to last night's football game, as there was a lot of focus and eyes on him, it's the role that Chase Daniel has played in this whole kind of scheme of things. And it talked about how, you know, Chase Daniel learned about studying the game from Drew Brees. Then Chase Daniel, of course, took that to Kansas City, and him and Alex Smith, you know, developed their routine, which is, you know, getting up at 5:30 in the morning and watching film and diagnosing the game plan and applying it to the game film on how it's all going to play out. And they'd stay one day ahead of, so Tuesdays they'd watch, do first and second down. Wednesdays, even though they'd go practice first and second down, they'd focus on third down, which is Thursday's work, so on and so forth. And now Chase Daniel has brought that to Philly. And even just reading the article, not only is Carson Wentz a film rat to begin with, you've got a veteran who's worked with Drew Brees and worked with Alex Smith, guys who've been in the league an awful long time, who have many different skill sets and a different eye for the game of football. You can help bridge the gap for Carson Wentz. And I think Doug Peterson's creating a great game plan and not really even taking their shots, just taking what's there and allowing Carson Wentz and his big arm and his playmakers to get open and receive the football. And I think it's props to the Philadelphia Eagles coaching staff, as you said. And not only just the offensive staff, but the defensive staff is doing a great job as well, limiting the Cleveland Browns in week one, and of course limiting and then knocking out Jay Cutler last night with the Chicago Bears.
They have done a great, great job, and he's certainly very, very impressive thus far early in his career. For the Browns, they're hoping a rookie quarterback can be impressive, not one that they expected to play quite this early either, and that is Cody Kessler, who was expected to start. I thought it was interesting the way that Hugh talked about it yesterday, though not really firmly committing to it. Could it be perhaps that Charlie Whitehurst is going to get in here and they want to get him going? But for now, it will be Cody Kessler this week against Miami. Now, Miami's injured the quarterback they have faced in each of the first 2 weeks. So for the Browns, they hope that they can get a quarterback to make it through this one. But, you know, it's going to be tough. He was not expected to play this early. You know, and for a lot of people who say that this is the referendum on their drafting, this guy was not expected to play this season, and I think it's going to be tough. I did not think Cody Kessler was ready. You don't think Kessler is ready, and it'll be amazing. If they can get him ready, it's going to be a heck of a coaching job.
It stinks that it happened this early, but I seeing what we saw from Cody Kessler in the preseason, I can't necessarily say I would be even more confident if this were to happen in Week 10, because what we saw in the preseason was just not – NFL caliber quarterback play in any way, shape, or form. And I know you can take into account the field position that he got and the guys that were blocking for him, but Cody Kessler's going to have to stand in there the way Carson Wentz did last night, the way Josh McCown did, and take those hits and deliver the football to our playmakers.
Yes, which he did, and he stood in there, but Cody Kessler, when you talk about him standing in there and delivering it, this isn't something he's used to doing.
No,
and now, he
not.
Hasn't worked with this offensive line at all. It wasn't a problem for Carson Wentz, but he hasn't worked with this line. He has worked the receivers because they've all kind of, you know, cycled through as the way that the Browns did things in training camp. But this is going to be a big challenge for him, and I think this is going to be a very difficult road to overcome on the road against the Miami Dolphins. The line has already moved up north of double figures in this one in Las Vegas, and probably really not a surprise there for this Browns team. But they're going to have to rally, and, you know, you didn't want to see this kind of adversity. The Browns already into their third quarterback in week number three. It's tough, and I think people here know how tough it is, and it's amazing how all of these quarterback injuries have piled up. They're piling up around the league, by the way, as well. But it's gonna be a challenge. And I think that what you hope, and one of the reasons you and I wanted to see McCown play, was that allows the Browns to continue to develop everybody around them.
Correct.
We saw Corey Coleman come out and have 104 yards, two touchdowns,
it's
five catches.
It's easy to evaluate that.
And look good. And you want him to be able to build that momentum. He looked like a first-round pick should look. That's encouraging.
Right.
That's something that the Browns have not had in a while.
Correct.
So that's encouraging. The play of Danny Shelton's encouraging. Carl Nassib's play was encouraging. And, of course, now he's injured, which is a little bit of a bummer. This team needs to be able to go out there and just get some momentum going, and it's going to be difficult now. We are resetting at the quarterback position with a guy that you didn't want to have to play, and as you well know from your time in the National Football League, if you were to go around the league and chop off the top two quarterbacks on every roster and have everybody play their third quarterback, it's not pretty.
It's not pretty.
And that's just, unfortunately, the reality of the situation. Charlie Whitehurst spent some time last year in Indianapolis, so Pep Hamilton has a little bit of familiarity with him. Andrew Berry has some familiarity with him. If he does come in, but there's the potential that he could start at some point.
Right, but even still, with RG3 and or Josh McCown and Carl Nassib healthy, something we've talked about time and time again, and it's going to be very redundant, is the margin for error for this football team in 2016 was very small, okay? And now that you've handcuffed us with an inexperienced quarterback, the margin for error has gone up significantly because you've got a guy that's never started or taken one snap in a regular season NFL football game as our signal caller.
Yes.
So the margin for error for him is huge. And along, as you said, not playing with this offensive line and not having a significant amount of time with these wide receivers, that margin for error just continues to grow and grow and grow. And I think that's the challenge for Hugh Jackson and Pep Hamilton, Kirby Wilson. And I think for the fact of the matter is for Ray Horton as well. As they construct a game plan both offensively and defensively, I think they need to work hand in hand about how we shorten this football game.
Yes.
How we run the football, how we stop the run, and give Cody Kessler opportunity after, or our offense, I will say, opportunity after opportunity to go out there and just develop some momentum and confidence, and even furthermore, get into the fourth quarter in a 10-7 game or a 13-10 game and not have to rely on Cody Kessler to make that play, but to rely on the offensive line, that veteran-laden offensive line that's going to look a little different this week, or Gary Barnidge to make that play, or even furthermore, to have our defense out there with Joe Hayden coming off his best week in a very long time, make that play against Ryan Tannehill and those wide receivers against Miami that seals that victory for us. Because I don't necessarily believe, because the margin of error is so large, that you can put that on Cody Kessler to be in a situation where in the fourth quarter, we need Cody Kessler to make plays. It's just, he's just not that guy, not yet.
No, he's not that guy. He is not that, not even close to that guy. And, you know, you look around the league, we talked about it. Where's another team that got down to their third quarterback? The New England Patriots, because Brady suspended, Garoppolo got knocked out. So then you go back and you look at what happened to them last week when Garoppolo got knocked out in that game against the Miami Dolphins. When Garoppolo got knocked out, he had thrown three touchdown passes in the first half and left in the second quarter. At the time that he left, they were up 24 to nothing or 21 to nothing. They held on to win 31 to 24 because they brought in a third round quarterback picked right around the same time, Jacoby Brissett, who was 6 of 9 for 92 yards in limited action, but really could not generate much down the field at all. But that's what you're dealing with. That's the kind of situation that you are in right now. I expect him to be coached up. I expect him to play to his strengths. I would look for a quick passing game, a short passing game, where they try to get the ball in the hands of their playmakers to make plays themselves. That's what I'm expecting. I expect to see a lot of Crow and Duke both running the football and catching it out of the backfield. But you're going to have to be able to push the ball down the field at some point, and this is going to be a tough matchup against that fearsome front with, you know, Ndamukong Suh up there. This is a very good defensive front down in Miami.
It is. Mario Williams, Cameron Wake, you know, Koumissi, and those guys as well. And, you know, something that comes to mind as potential opportunities for Cody Kessler to have that success, to go along with what you said about quick passing game. Not only quick passing game, you know, drag slants and Barnidge on, you know, on some stick routes to move the change. But I wouldn't be surprised, and I talked a little bit about it yesterday, is, you know, some screens, bubble screens, the now passes. Don't be surprised if we're in trips and you get Pryor and, say, you know, Hollywood Higgins out there with Corey Coleman or Andrew Hawkins running a bubble, or the look pass where he gets the football now and it becomes a extension of the run. little things like that that we can do, or even a flare screen out of the backfield to Duke with, you know, with Barnage maybe flexed out and Pryor in a twin set, where you get those big players, you know, on some of their smaller skilled athletes and you get Duke Johnson in space. Little things like that that you can do, kind of the way St. Louis has used Tavon Austin.
Uh-huh.
You know, a lot of 3 yard or less, but you get the football in his hands and it allows you to move the chains and you're going to bet on your playmaker to beat their defender, you know, 6-7 times out of 10. So if you do those repeatedly, it's something that will move the chains. Cody Kessler settles in. The game is not too big for him. And then you pick your spots. And that's what I think Hugh Jackson is going to work with and understand what Cody Kessler can handle in regards to throwing the football down the field 15 yards or more.
It is going to be, in my opinion, it is going to be a game plan that you have to not ask him to do things he cannot do. The defense is going to know that. They're going to try to take those things away. But you talked about getting it to your playmakers in space, trying to allow them to make plays. And we saw Duke Johnson show the ability to do that. We saw Crows show the ability to do that. Corey Coleman, his second touchdown was just simply catch it, throw it out to him, and he picked up 11 yards himself and did the work. You're going to need some of that, and you're going to need a very good defensive effort against Ryan Tannehill and company down there in Miami. He threw for 389 yards, 2 touchdowns last week.
What did he have in the first half?
Not much. It was basically a complete comeback.
I didn't think so. I knew that, and that's why, you know, a lot of throw. And I think if I were Ray Horton, I look at what the New England Patriots did defensively in the first half and give those looks with our players to disrupt Ryan Tannehill, Devontae Parker, Jarvis Landry, Jordan Cameron, and those guys and limit what they do early. And if we can have it while we develop that time and success with Cody Kessler offensively.
And hopefully,
starting fast defensively is going
to
be the key.
Important. You're going to have to get some turnovers. You're going to have to do what you did early against the Ravens to try to get out there and blitz them and get a quick lead. This is not going to be easy, though, and anybody who thinks it is, the Browns, they are going to enter this game as significant underdogs going against the Miami Dolphins. When we come back, we will hear from Cody Kessler, his reaction to being named the starting quarterback as he prepares for the Miami Dolphins.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm in the Dog Bowl in Brea. We go to the phone lines now. Dan in Hershey Pod. Dan, welcome.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right. I just wanted to call in and try and say something positive. You and I've been and Matt have been talking the whole preseason and really had our hopes pretty high, and so far everything's gone just about as bad as it could go, you know, unfortunately.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all the ifs that we had talked about, I mean, RG3 goes down, now McCown's hurt, you know, and boy, he looked good till he got hurt, you know, that guy, my goodness, what a gamer, and my heart goes out to Robert, too. I mean, this was really a shot for him, and hopefully he can come back sometime this year, but I just don't know. So on the positive note, though, I think one thing that's obvious, and all of our – and we've talked about this in the past – all of our hopes really kind of hinge on the fact that our front office can evaluate talent.
Yes.
And, you know, I did hear you eating some crow about Carson Wentz today, but, I mean, if you look at this draft class, particularly the way Coleman played this last week – I mean, top to bottom, it really looks good.
Agreed.
I mean, that is an optimistic thing. I mean, you know, these guys, I mean, they really kind of knocked it out of the park. I mean, and on the other side of the ball, I mean, Cam Irving, till he got hurt, looked like he was going to be pretty good. You know, he's developing. Shelton's playing well, you know, and if there's one thing that I was really worried about before game one was the defense. And I'm really pleased to see the defense playing as well as they are. You know, I think it really gives us a shot to play old school kind of football and you know, hold it close to the fence on offense and probably be able to keep the game kind of tight, to tell you the truth.
You're going to have to play good defensively.
That's about as far as I can go on being optimistic.
And by the way, I do think that, you know, when you look at the defensive performance, especially in light of last night, you know, you come away with what they did against Philly was pretty good. Compared to, I think, what Philly did to the Chicago Bears defense, which at the beginning of the game looked excellent.
Yeah.
But they were, you know, it was certainly to say the least, it was an interesting, an eye-opening thing. But to Dan's point, Corey Coleman looks like a first-round pick. That's what you want. So that looks good. We know that Nassib has looked good. Agba has looked good. Derek Kindred has looked good. We still haven't seen some of the other. Joe Schobert has earned a starting job. Nate Orchard's a second-year player. Danny Shelton's a second-year player who started to look very good on the defensive
side. Xavier
Cooper
is starting for us.
Xavier Cooper is starting as a second-year player. So there are a lot of young guys that are showing signs of encouragement, but to his point, this group's got to be able to draft well. The key for this group will be, since they did not take a quarterback this year, and you can kill them on that if you'd like to, then when next year, when they have the opportunity to do so, they need to find their guy and get him. Because until this franchise gets that young quarterback, they're not going to go where they want to go.
Right. And do you think if they get that young quarterback, is he a guy that you thrust immediately into it the way that Carson Wentz has kind of played thus far for Philadelphia?
I think you read it out. I think that there are opportunities to go either way about it, as we're seeing the Jeff Fisher and the Rams taking a more cautious approach. Now, I think that that has a lot to do with the way they're being coached as well. Let's not forget, and again, I know people, let's not forget, Carson Wentz was going to be inactive the first two games had Sam Bradford not been traded. So this is him getting an opportunity. Now, if something were to happen to Case Keenum, perhaps they would have gone with Jared Goff. I also think the coaching matters. The good news for us is the Browns, I believe, has the coaching staff that can get a young quarterback ready, and we'll see that. How far has Cody Kessler come in 3 weeks? How far will he come getting all the work this week? Because you look at Philadelphia, you've got Doug Peterson there as your head coach, former quarterback, former offensive coordinator, and he's calling the plays there. You've got John DeFilippo, a former quarterback himself in college, former quarterback coach with Derek Carr out in Oakland, and the offensive coordinator here a year ago. So they have all offensive people, all quarterback people working with their young quarterback, Carson Wentz, and they've done a hell of a job game planning, and Carson Wentz has done a hell of a job executing. For Goff, you've got a defensive coach in Jeff Fisher. You have basically a newish offensive coordinator who doesn't have experience as a quarterback. And you also have, on the other side of it, you have got your quarterback coach, Chris Winkie, who played in the league, was never that
right.
good. Was a great college quarterback, but has never been a quarterback coach in the National Football League
Correct.
Before either. So there are, I think, some things to look at there, but I do think the Browns have the right infrastructure to try to help out this young quarterback when they get him. Obviously, watching what you've watched the last couple of days, you certainly wish that Carson Wentz was that guy who had the opportunity to do it. But at the same time, that's gone. That ship has sailed, and what you need to evaluate is what they've done with the draft picks they've had. Or not, you don't need to, but that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is, you know, you've got Corey Coleman, who looks like you want your first-round pick to look. Came out and had a great game, looked like he can become a star, and they've got a lot of things. I think you can't judge them completely until you see what comes out of the 2017 draft. Now, again, every win that Carson Wentz gets makes that second pick not as good from Philadelphia.
I know. That's why we're rooting against
them. Which is frustrating. The offensive coordinator in St. Louis is a former tight ends offensive line coach, so they really don't have, you know, the guys there. You've got Doug Peterson, Frank Reich, and Flip working with Wentz. The Browns, I feel like, have that infrastructure.
Oh,
here,
yeah, with
Hugh Jackson and,
Pep. Correct. And even Al Saunders.
And Al, yes, they've got the knowledge, the know-how is here for that young quarterback, and we'll see what happens going forward about that. 216-578-0850, that's the way to call us up. But right now, let's hear from the young quarterback who will be starting for the Browns in Week 3 against Miami. That's Cody Kessler.
So, Cody, did this happen sooner than you expected?
Yeah, I mean, you can't really expect something like this to happen. There's no plan for it, but the only plan you can have is your process, you know, and like I said after the game on Sunday was, I just stick to my process, and I've been preparing as a starter since I got here, since rookie minicamp, really, you know, and you never know when an opportunity will come or when a chance, you know, will come your way, but the last thing you want to do is not be ready, you know, so for me, I've been preparing this way the whole time, you know, and just staying focused, and been so fortunate to learn from Josh and Robert, and Coach Jackson, you know, has been helping me out a ton, and for me, it's just, like I said, just sticking to my process and continue to prepare.
Do you think Coach, you'll have the full arsenal of the playbook at your disposal on Sunday, or are you expecting things might be slimmed down just a little bit to make you comfortable and get you going?
You know, I have no idea. Obviously, the game plan is going to be put in by Coach Jackson, and they're going to, put in what's best for us to have opportunity to win. You know, and I'm going to go knife on. I'm going to go ahead and whatever that is, you know, just learn it, you know, throughout the week and continue to stick to it. And I've already been watching, you know, starting last night, watching Miami film, and you know, early this morning, coming in and watch a couple games and some cut-ups and stuff. So, for me, you know, it's just to continue to prepare. And whatever the game plan happens to be, and whatever, you know, happens on Sunday, whatever we're going in there with the thought process of, I'm going to do everything I can to, be ready throughout the week, you know, so nothing gets thrown at me that I'm not ready for.
How close do you think it was yesterday to getting it? I mean, expected? Was it ever really close to?
Yeah. I mean, there was a couple times, that I started warming up and thought, hey, get ready to go in. You know, this might happen depending on how he feels. And started throwing a couple times, going through the script again, talking to Pep. But, that just goes off to show how good, and how great of a competitor Josh is. You know, and there was a couple times I could see, on his face how much pain he was in. And he really was hurting. And he's a tough guy, and he really doesn't complain about anything. And for him to fight through that and continue to go in and obviously for me, I was going back and forth. Didn't know if I was going to go in. Didn't know if he was going to stay in. But like I said, just from, previous weeks and just last week preparation, just staying ready. So if that time, did come last week or yesterday, I didn't want to blink an eye. I didn't want to be nervous going there, questioning myself, so.
Cody, how did it work procedurally today? When did you get the official word you'll be the guy signing?
Coach Jackson just came into the meeting and told us about Robert and about Josh. And the only thing he really said to me was just stay ready, be prepared, stay ready. And, that's all I can do is continue to work on that, continue to go with that and prepare this week and continue with my process and just compete, and that's what I, got brought here to do was be, compete and be a competitor. And that's something since I first got here in rookie minicamp that I've wanted to do and continue to prepare as a starter and just be ready to go.
Cody, I know you said you've been preparing as a starter the whole time, but what's different today and what will be different tomorrow and Wednesday besides just the rest?
I mean, nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing for me. I mean, just it's the same process. The reps obviously might be different, but other than that, I've kept the same process the whole time. And I really have, and I've treated, and a lot of that's due to Josh. Josh has kind of walked me through his process and how he did things and how he wished he would have did things different at the beginning of his career. And that's kind of, for me, to have that experience to learn from has been awesome, and it's helped me kind of shape my process. And I'm still tweaking things here and there as we go out through the week, what works for me, what, doesn't. And but this week's going to be the same, continue to prepare, already get a jump start on Miami and continue to, once we get our game plan, go over that and kind of implicate things that they do and what's going to work in different situations.
Given that, what about the opportunity that's in front of you? I mean, it's here a lot quicker than you probably thought, but it is an opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, I guess, what the NFL is. You get opportunities, you don't know when they're going to come, and that's kind of everything, every aspect in life. But for me, I said I don't want to change. I don't want to put anything extra, different into my thought process, kind of overload anything. I just want to stay consistent, keep working hard, and kind of keep my mouth shut and just continue to work within this building and within this team and just get ready to go.
There were a lot of people, Cody, who thought that Browns made a mistake taking you in the third round. So what do you want to prove to those people?
Nothing. I have nothing to prove. I just have been like that my whole life. I went to USC and I was the second guy to commit there, and then I never thought I'd get a chance there, and I just, like I said, kept my mouth shut and put my head down and just kept working. And I come from Bakersfield too. Not a lot of people have been there, but it's a blue collar town, and it reminds me a lot of Cleveland. I'm in a sense of the people that are there, so it's really cool for me to respect that. And like I said before, I respect the position. I respect that the game takes a lot. You got to work hard, but for me, it's nothing to prove. It's just continue to do what I've been doing and just keep working hard and just get prepared and ready to go.
How much different do you see the challenge playing in the regular season now that you've seen a couple of games versus the preseason?
Yeah, I mean, I obviously haven't played in a regular season game yet. I've got to watch now too from the sideline, but I think, like I said, it goes back to process. And I know I keep repeating myself, but that's how I've always looked. How I've always felt comfortable going into a game, whether it was in high school or college, whatever it may be. Just continue to work on what you can control. You can't control what they're going to do. You can't control how the other team's going to play, but you can control how you study all week, how you prepare, how you really pay attention to detail in each rep, in each film segment. And for me, that's just something I want to continue to keep doing.
Are there some mixed emotions this week too? I mean, obviously it's your first start, but it comes at the cost of a guy you've spoken very highly of.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult, because I've gotten so close to Josh and Robert, since I've gotten here. And those are guys that work so hard, and Josh. And just last week was unfortunate, but I told him after the game, I walked up to him and immediately, I could see he was hurting. And his first thought was, I'm in pain. He was more in pain than we lost. That's just the type of guy, type of competitor he is. But, I went up to him and I said, I don't know how much it means coming from me, but, that performance you just had is something I always look up to, and the way you fought through that and the way you battled. So it was tough, to watch him work so hard and really do things the right way and then have that unfortunate situation happen. But, his first thing back to me was, you just got to be ready. This is a league that's a violent game, and guys can never control if they're going to get hurt or not. So you just got to stay ready, you know, and he's been helping me out even today, just talking to me and kind of saying in my head and trying to keep me focused.
Cody, I'm sure you had a lot of things flying at you at a million miles an hour. You've had to learn the offense, everything, you know, being a rookie in general.
Mm-hmm.
How tough is it to kind of slow your brain down and say, okay, I gotta take this at a slower process when you want to learn as fast as you can?
Yeah, it can be frustrating at times, and I think I said it before, coming from an offense at USC when I had everything down, obviously been in the system for a while, to get into a brand new system, you know, you want to get right back to that, but it takes time and there's a process, and you have to continue to learn things and continue to master your craft, I guess, really, what works for you, what doesn't. But, I think the more reps I've gotten, especially last week, you know, getting some more reps with the offense instead of just doing scout team, you know, the whole time has helped me a lot. But that's just something I've been working on, too, is just staying after practice, you know, getting the script. And whether it was during, you know, fall camp or now going into preparation, for the preseason, was I'd stay after and get reps, you know, for an hour, take the script and go through plays I didn't get in practice. So it helps me. You know, I think it's helped me out so far to where I am right now.
Cody, is there anything daunting about being thrown into the fire this early in your career?
No. I mean, like I said, it's all about opportunity. You know, and some guys don't even get that opportunity. Some guys get it early. Some guys get it late. But you never know what's going to come. But you just want to be ready. You know, and for me, that's something I've always continued to do. You know, just stay ready. And I'm excited, you know, for a chance to go out and compete, you know, and whether it's this week in practice or if it's in the game or whenever it may be. But, I'm very excited to get an opportunity to show what I can do and show the hard work that I've been putting in.
What about the trust to be quote that Hugh Jackson on draft day, mm-hmm. people were questioning, whether third round was too high? And you came out and said, trust me. Are those big words for you to try to live up to?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been awesome, too, because, you know, Hugh's trusted me, you know, through this whole process. And he really has. And he knows, that I'm excited to play for him. He can tell that since I've got here from day one that, you know, I really am excited. When you get a coach like that, you know, really loves the game and also really loves his players and really just wants you to succeed, it makes you want to play better, you know. And, Coach Jackson has been – you know, really tough on me and really hard on me, but at the same time, it's because he wants the most out of his players and the most out of me. And it's been great, you know, to learn from him and get to play for a guy that's just as competitive as you are as a player. And, I'm continuing to work, you know, for him and keep working for this team and this organization.
That's Cody Kessler, and he will get an opportunity to answer his critics, although he says he has nothing to prove to them, which I would agree with. He just needs to go out there and try to be the best quarterback he can be for the Cleveland Browns. He'll get that opportunity this Sunday in Miami against the Dolphins. When we return, Sir Andrew Gribble is live in studio with us. We'll take your phone calls together, 216-578-0850. So go ahead, hit us up right now on CBD.
Listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Sir Andrew Gribble. Gribbs, an interesting first couple of weeks, and now Josh McCown, RG3 both injured. The Cody Kessler era begins probably much earlier than anticipated or anybody would have liked. What kind of do you make of everything that's gone on here the last couple of days?
It was just like a emotional roller coaster in that first quarter on Sunday, because I think it was right after the second Corey Coleman touchdown is not only when you had that extra point blocked, but then that's when it started to matriculate up to the press box that not all was right with Josh McCown and his shoulder. I didn't notice it before that touchdown pass, but it just didn't look good. And you had the feeling he was going to tough that thing out, like no matter what. But then anytime you see a guy tough it out, you know, long-term it can keep you out for a few weeks. And I think that's what happened, and it's so unfortunate that you're down to your third quarterback in the third week of the season. I mean, that doesn't happen. It's happened now to two teams, but the Patriots obviously get Tom Brady back week five. I mean, it throws off everything. Like you said early in the show, no one feels great when you're down to your third quarterback. You're just, the rosters just aren't set up to be that way, and so you just have to adjust. And I think that the adjustments are coming quick, and Cody Kessler's not only starting a game week three in a tough place playing Miami, depending on what the injury situation is with McCown, he's staring down four of the next five on the road with one in between against the Patriots. I mean, it's tough, but he's got to deal with it. And I think the Browns offensive staff has got to get this so he is as comfortable as he can possibly be. But no matter what, he's not going to be comfortable.
Right. And what does that look like in regards to approaching this football game with an offensive defensive game plan? Is it shortening the game? Is it being dedicated to running the football and giving him quick, you know, 10 yards or less type of throws, working a single side of the field? What do you expect this game plan to look like?
Well, I think firstly, you're going to see more of what the Browns did early against the Ravens, and that was run the ball a lot no matter the situation. I was actually rewatching the game today, and I think there was a situation in the game last week. I believe it was the first series of the game. The Browns had a penalty on prior for offensive pass interference.
Right.
They had first and 20, and they ran the ball back-to-back plays after that. You know, most of the time, that doesn't happen.
Right.
Most of the time, you're passing at least on that first or second down. And the Browns
to get a chunk of the back.
Browns committed to the run there. And so I think that's going to be the key. But at the same time, you're going to have defenses loaded up even more so to stop that. So you've got to get Cody Kessler comfortable. Short passes, crossing routes, just quick movement, quick passing, which is what he was able to do and succeed with at USC. You just got to get him in situations to get his confidence up and not feel overwhelmed initially, or it can snowball on you. So I think that's what I'll be looking for. But with Cody, it's just so interesting because – you look back at the preseason, it wasn't what you wanted to see most of the time. I just want to know how he's going to play with starters.
Right.
He was on the field with Higgins and Ricardo Lewis sometimes, but most of the other guys aren't on the team anymore. So,
and backed up in a lot of situations.
Backed up, really bad yardage situation. So you got to – I want to see how he responds with starters on this team because we just haven't seen that.
We haven't seen him with this line at all, and now he's going to get the opportunity there. It was the preseason. We saw him kind of take a little bit of a beating back there. He did complete 68% of his passes. Now his yards per attempt, everybody will point out, not good, but at a quarterback rating of 84, one touchdown, no interceptions. When you think about the game, though, going to Miami, that is a very tough defensive front, and it's going to be one that's going to be tough to run on for the Browns. It's also going to be one that's going to get after the quarterback, and they've knocked out quarterbacks now 2 weeks in a row.
Desperate team, too. I mean, this is the team that had pretty high expectations for this season. New coach, reinvested in their defense. I mean, they for their playoff hopes in Miami, they can't go 0-3. I mean, in that division with the Jets and Patriots playing as well as they have so far, you know, I think they're going to come out. They're not going to overlook the Browns because they need to win that badly. So I that's why it's just a tough test. But I think you maybe take something from what the Patriots did to the Dolphins this past week. It was almost a 180 for the Dolphins defense week one to week two. They got carved up by Garoppolo and the Patriots. So
they did, though, but it kind of came to a screeching halt when Brissett had to come in.
Yeah, but you wonder, was that the Patriots laying off the gas a little bit too at that point and playing safer? It's just hard to tell when it's so rare in the NFL when you just see a blowout from start to finish. It seems like teams just cannot resist from pulling it back. You look at what the Chargers did week one against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I mean, they just took the foot off the gas and let the Chiefs back into the game. We saw it this week, Sunday, that the Browns just couldn't hold on to that big lead and the Ravens chipped into it. So I think that the Dolphins are going to have something to prove in this game, and I think they're going to be salivating at the fact that they're playing a rookie quarterback for the second straight week and knowing that they can inflict damage on that.
Joe Hayden had a great game this past week against the Baltimore Ravens defensively. Corey Coleman finally emerges as a first-round talent, playing well on offense. Highlight, you know, what you thought of both of their performances, and just a few other guys that you thought stepped up and played very well in the week two opponent.
Well, I thought Hayden was great, and he almost had a third interception in that game as well. And that's what you needed from him with the way the secondary is set up this season, with a lot of inexperience all the way around. So you want to see that continue. I don't know if he's going to be matched up with Landry this week or if he'll see Devontae Parker. It's going to be a tough matchup for him no matter what. Coleman, again, was encouraging, and I think, you know, the two touchdowns got a lot of attention, but that catch he made at the end of the third quarter where he went up and got it, I mean, that's exactly why you drafted this guy and why we keep hearing that he plays bigger than he is.
And Steve Smith.
So
that was a very Steve Smithian
really
play.
Just a tough physical.
Smithian.
Yes, thank you.
Just a tough physical play. But outside that, you know, I know the Browns did not record any sacks on Sunday, but I thought the pass rush was much more consistent and cause some problems for Joe Flacco. I think there were no sacks because he's such a pro and knows how to get rid of it right away.
He got
away.
Hit
and,
as he released the ball multiple times.
They brought a lot of pressure. I thought Tyrone Holmes was a good change of pace on that defensive line, getting 10 snaps. I'd anticipate that to go up this week with Carl Nassib out. So I think that they're designing ways to get these guys to the quarterback, even though you don't maybe have that elite pass rusher on this defense. So I think that so far through the first weeks, I know you've given up 54 points so far this season, but it's just the defense has just seemed much more confident and maybe better than we anticipated because they had struggled so much during the preseason. I think that overall has been a pleasant surprise to me. I think that the run defense on Sunday was probably better than any time we've seen it all last year.
Browns are giving up 3.6 yards a carry, ninth best in the NFL
so
right
you
now.
You want that to continue. The Dolphins have kind of a mess at running back right now, so you have to keep that up this week as well. You just can't let Landry and Parker carve you up. I think that in the first 2 weeks, tight ends have really been a trouble spot for the Browns defense. You can't let Jordan Cameron finally get his confidence back with Miami because he's struggled as well since he's been there.
He did. He had a touchdown last week, five catches for 49 yards in their game against the New England Patriots. You know, for the Browns, you talk about the run defense. I still, even though Joe Hayden showed up and looked very good, I still do have concerns about the back end of this defense. Yeah. I think Derek Kindred is playing very, very well, but you saw on a couple third downs, Jordan Poyer take a bad angle on one in particular to Dennis Pitta, where he was able to run up the sideline at the end of the first half, which got them into field goal range. You just wonder, you know, this team, they are doing a good job. They got in some third and favorable situations, but they still give up 10 of 16 third down conversions to Joe Flacco, and the majority of it was throwing the football and, you know, two receivers, but also to the tight end, Dennis Pitta. That's why you talked about Jordan Cameron there. What can this team do, you know, to try to alleviate that? Because that, you know, the receivers were the ones who victimized the Browns in week number one. It was two receiver touchdowns again in week number two with Mike Wallace. They've got to do a better job there.
Yeah, it's just shoring up the breakdowns because I don't know if you're going to do much differently from a personnel standpoint at this point. I think the only thing that's up in the air right now is with Ibrahim Campbell dealing with a hamstring injury. You saw a lot of Derek Kindred and a lot of Jordan Poyer this week. If Campbell is healthy, I'm curious how that rotation is going to look because I think Kindred is playing well. I think he's probably not in the spots he needs to be sometimes because he's young at fourth-round pick, but he is probably one of the surest tacklers in that back end. I think he made a couple tackles last week that saved kept intermediate plays from becoming big plays, and I think that's the key for him. I think there's a lot of excitement about what he's able to do, and I think it's just a matter of them getting more comfortable because I don't think there's many personnel changes to be made. I think Jamar Taylor and Hayden are locked in at those corner spots. I think Tremont Williams is going to stick with nickel, and I think that those are going to be your three safeties moving forward. Just got to play better.
And when we talked about it, we watched the game on the touchdown, Jamar Taylor kind of seemed like blew the coverage a little bit or just wasn't in the right spot. And the other thing we've started to notice, at least in the first 2 weeks, Matt and I were talking about it, is Tremont Williams, you know, Father Time always wins. It seems that his instincts are right. It seems that his reads are right. Yet he's there. He's tackling the guys as they catch the ball, but he's not there to break the passes up in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I think it's a combination of that's happening. And I think on those third downs, you're not getting maybe as much as pass rush as you've been getting on first and second down. I think Flacco had a lot of time on some of those underneath routes and everything like that, and he was able to check down and make those plays. I don't know if Tannehill's as disciplined as a quarterback as Joe Flacco is, though, this week. I think that's – you've got to bait him into some situations because he can throw some picks and get frustrated. So, and I think is the stat right now that Ryan Tannehill's their leading rusher on the team right now for the Miami Dolphins. I think he's got a lot of yards so far. He's someone that can sneak out and run and make you pay that way, whereas last week Flacco probably wasn't going to be running on you.
Yeah, yep. And speaking of rushing yards, do you think Isaiah Crowell and the 85-yard touchdown and Hugh Jackson's ability to stay dedicated to the run is going to help alleviate some of the pressure of Cody Kessler having to make the it throws or the throws that are needed to be to convert some of the third downs that are going to come up against the Dolphins?
Yeah, and you hope so. I think the key is you just can't abandon it in this game, no matter what the circumstances are. I think I thought the Browns did a better job of that this week, even when it seemed like it was getting to 2019. It seemed like it was kind of panic mode time for the offense. You needed to get something going. I thought they stayed pretty disciplined with it. And I think that kept McCown a little bit more comfortable, kept him protected a little bit. I think you just have to stick with the plan and know that running the ball can be this team's strength if you stick to it. Because I think Crowell has looked so good this year, especially the speed he showed on that 85-yard run.
21.97 miles per hour.
It's the fastest of any running touchdown in the season.
Correct.
By the way, did you know from the Did You Know file, the Browns right now eighth in the NFL, 132.5 yards rushing per game, second in the NFL at 6 yards per carry. And Isaiah Crowell's 85-yard touchdown run, well, simply the longest run of the season in the entire National Football League.
You just don't see runs like that very often.
No.
And it just seemed, and when you look at the, I watched the tape a lot today because we did the film breakdown on Crowell's run.
Yeah.
It looked so simple. Like they just blocked the play perfectly. Everyone did their job, and then there was just wide open space, and Crowell hit the hole correctly, split a tackle, and he was gone. I mean, it just looked so easy. And you just want to see those kind of plays happen more often because this can be a running attack that makes those plays when it's all going correctly.
And when you and I were talking earlier about it, there were a lot of plays watching the tape back that it was. They were one block away. Malcolm Johnson did such a good job on that one with the kick-out block on Eric Weddle. Joe Thomas came around, sealed the other side. They did a great job working together. And that's what it takes in the ground game. And then the safeties took bad angles, and Crow was able to, I think they weren't expecting him to be as fast, and he was able to split them, and he was gone.
Yeah. The one question I want to ask both of you is, if you had to say the Cleveland Browns will win Sunday if Cody Kessler has to throw what number of passes? Like, what's that number in your head that we have to stay at or below, knowing that we'd have to have had success defensively shortening the football game and our ability to run the football?
I'd say 30.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Because you want to be out there about 70 or so plays. Get about a 40-30 mix with running the ball and just eating the clock. I feel like the defense, especially on Sunday, did so much better when they were off the field and rested and ready to go, and then they wore down a little bit at the end.
The truth of the matter is that number is going to depend on how many first downs you can convert. Cody Kessler is going to have to convert third and fives, third and tens, third and threes, hopefully at some point. I think that we're going to pull out all the stops. I think Hugh Jackson's not going to be afraid to use some trickeration with Terrell Pryor coming around. Maybe he'll throw a couple balls. I think they're going to try.
I have a hunch that Terrell Pryor, the over-under on Terrell Pryor snaps, I'm going to say at quarterback or in a backfield type position, is going to be five.
Five?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I think, to your point, if there's going to be 70 snaps in a football game, you know, and 40 of them are going to be runs, if Cody Kessler's ability to throw the football, I don't want him throwing the football 30 times. I'd prefer 24, and maybe those five or six other snaps, I have a gadget type of play with Terrell Pryor in the wildcat coming in motion on a fly sweep, you know, something of that sort. Just add wrinkles to a game plan to eliminate Cody Kessler. I have to handle the football and handle the pressure of playing quarterback in the NFL.
I'll just ask you, though, how much can you truly install in a week?
A lot.
With new collective bargaining, you can still get that much prepared.
Yeah, I mean, you can.
What is it going on behind the scenes, or how is it?
It's going on. It's going on behind the scenes. It's the brainchild of Hugh Jackson or Al Saunders or Pep Hamilton on Monday, knowing that you're going to go with Cody. What can we do to, you know, get the ball out of his hands and to make a big play or to add a different wrinkle? And maybe we haven't watched a whole lot of – I haven't watched any Miami film, but, like, maybe in weeks one or two there was some trickeration or a reverse went for yards, and that becomes your brainchild of what you want to accomplish, and then you start to expound on, you know, a series of plays that we know Terrell Pryor has in the Hugh Jackson offense. And now you just start to experiment. What are those downs and distances, and what point on the field do those become a legitimate opportunity for us to steal – a first down or a chunk play and not allow Cody Kessler to essentially have to drop back to pass, you know, on second and seven plus when you can run a gadget to get to third and one.
And I also think that you will see from time to time, and we saw it in this game against Baltimore. Unfortunately, the execution wasn't there. I think Josh McCown may have missed that one. Were the double moves? Because if you hit him with all those short, you can all of a sudden hit him with the slant and go.
Or the stalk and go.
Stop and go.
Or if you start doing the bubble screens or the now passes, you know, with Pryor or Barnage stock blocking the nickel and an outside corner, you know, with a bubble to either, you know, Corey Coleman, Andrew Hawkins, or Duke Johnson out there, you get the stock and go. You run the same pass, and then it's like now they run past and you get a one-on-one situation with Pryor on whatever DB. And Kessler has an opportunity to throw a jump ball.
Right, and I think that those are the kind of opportunities – that they're going to have to capitalize on. Gribbs, I want you to tell everybody about what you're doing in the film room play breakdown, which is a great feature that you do every single week. Today you talked about Crow's touchdown and got very good quotes. And one of the things that struck me was what Kirby Wilson you had in there said about Isaiah Crowell and just his development.
Yeah, you know, it was almost a little foreshadowing because Kirby met with the media on Friday and he was asked about Crowell and just about how he's not 100% there. No running back is yet. And I think this was a knock on Crowell last year, just missing the holes that were there for him in the running game. But he is better at that. And I think that was clear on that run, not just the 85-yard run on Sunday, but other runs that he got for 4 or 5 yards at a time. And he's turning he's doing a better job of turning nothing into something. And then I think he's doing a better job of capitalizing kind of on these big plays. And I just think he's in the best shape of his career. And I think it showed so far both from a mental and physical standpoint.
You know, and it's interesting when you look at how much a scheme matters to a running back. And, man, I'm sure you probably have more knowledge on this than either Sir Andrew or myself. But Crow last year, and even since he came in the league, he was not a zone runner.
No.
And that's a difficult kind of skill to figure out the timing of it, the reads of it. He is much better when he is a power runner and running power, which they did the last 4 games of last year when he averaged, ran for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns in those 4 games. He's picked up where he's left off this season. But how much does that help a guy like Crow to just know, this is where I'm going, this is my read, and I'm gone?
Exactly. That's exactly where I was going to go. And when you're in a zone scheme, you've got to read and off a series of double team blocks, you know, and eventually, you know, one of the guards or tackles is going to come up on a flowing linebacker and that becomes seam A. Then there's a seam behind the center. And then obviously there's, you know, out the back door when and I think for young runners to play in a power or downhill scheme, it's to their talent and proves for them to just put their cleats in the ground and go. And there's honestly, and I'm not trying to knock anybody's intelligence, but it's just so much easier. There's no thinking associated with this is where the hole's going to be. This is what we're trying to create. And you replicate it, you replicate it, you replicate it all week. And then when you get in the game, the hole is exactly where you expect it to be. Whereas in the zone scheme, you know, you reach a guy, you don't reach a guy. That all changes on the run. And I thought that's kind of like what we, our detriment defensively is we were getting reached, we were getting scooped, and there were holes all over our defense. And now we're blocking a certain spot for a run to hit in a certain place.
And it became, you know, you're worried about, I remember last, he was so worried about his tracks, his running track.
Right.
As opposed to just running, just
taking
playing
the football
the game.
And running down. And that's the greatest thing that we can do is to block the front 6 hats, 7 hats, potentially, which is exactly what we did on his 85-yard touchdown run. And then Isaiah Crowell has that head of steam at five yards and is forced, you're forcing a safety or safeties in this case, you know, they had to make a tackle in space on a very strong downhill runner.
Yeah, I think that's the thing I was saying, that he is such a good downhill runner that I feel so much better with him now getting short passes in the passing game because he really does. It was the play that I was talking about where Pryor got called for offensive pass interference, a great screen to Crowell where he made a lot of moves, got about 10, 15 yards on that play. And you don't think of him as much of a pass catcher because I don't think he doesn't have the hands that Duke Johnson has. But when he gets the ball in a passing situation, it almost always ends pretty well.
And he's rarely tackled by one defender.
Yeah, he took that one up the sideline and knocked that guy on the Ravens and got fired up, which I liked. And I think Kirby Wilson deserves a lot of credit for what he's done with Isaiah Crowell. Crow deserves a lot of credit because for those of us who have been here for the 3 years of his career, he is by far in the best shape that he has ever been.
Yes, and I'm not just trying to bring it up, but has overcome an off-the-field situation simply by doing what we thought he needed to do to overcome it, which is give his, you know, monetary value to that cause, but then walk the walk. And be the professional and show that you've learned your lesson, and he's done that.
He's grown up a lot, and I think it shows certainly on the field with him. Sir Andrew, what's coming up the rest of the week here?
Yeah, we just got more follow-up coverage. I know another Cody Kessler press conference tomorrow that we'll be on top of, and just getting folks ready for the big trip to Miami. We'll see how it goes.
South Beach.
I know you're
Bienvenido.
You're not even going to be close to South Beach.
I'll be close to South Beach.
Okay. Do you know where you're staying?
We're Turnberry Isle.
Okay. How far is that?
No idea.
It's probably at minimum a 50-minute drive.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. South Beach is called South Beach for a reason.
It is South.
Yes. You guys are South. You guys are going to be closer to West Palm than you are going to be South Beach.
I heard it's a phenomenal golf resort.
Fort Lauderdale. You guys will be closer to Fort Lauderdale.
I enjoy Lauderdale. I've had some good times in Lauderdale. The former, that's where CBS Sports.com is headquartered. That's where I used to go to do my online fantasy football shows with them. All right. When we come back, hour number two, we'll kick it off with John Costco from Pro Football Focus. We'll also take your phone calls, 216-578-0850 here on CBD.
The Golden Boys, Aaron Goldhammer and Amit Golden. Weekdays at 3, ESPN 850 WKNR, Cleveland.